In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, before we look at the Gospel, just an update on the fortnight of freedom. So last weekend, both Father Barry and I and many priests and bishops across the diocese were speaking about this fortnight of freedom, which began on June 21st and goes until July 4th, praying for the restoration of religious liberties in our country. Just a couple days ago, the Supreme Court had a decision on this Obamacare. Now, when we first heard that, we don't know the full ramification of the decision. However, right when you hear that news, you think, oh boy, this isn't good. Well, you hear something that's a great hope. Hannah Smith, who's the senior counsel of the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, explained that the arguments against the law that were recently rejected by the court are separate and distinct legal challenges from those being brought against the mandate. In June 28th press, the Supreme Court announced its ruling. Smith said that in this case, the court was not asked to review the religious liberty issues surrounding the mandate. Okay? The court was not asked to review the religious liberty issues surrounding the mandate. And those are the lawsuits that will be coming to the Supreme Court. Rather, its decision dealt solely with the overarching law itself, particularly a requirement that virtually everyone must buy health insurance and a provision dealing with the expansion of Medicare. Just real briefly, she said two statements of the Supreme Court justice in the June 28th decision hint at what the court's future ruling on this mandate could be. She pointed to the majority opinion penned by Chief Justice John Roberts, who states, quote, even if the taxing power enables Congress to impose a tax on not obtaining health insurance, any tax must still comply with other requirements in the Constitution. And then in this, several Supreme Court justices who said even more explicitly, quote, Ginsburg says, quote, a mandate to purchase a particular product would be unconstitutional if, for example, the edict impermissibly abridged the freedom of speech, interfered with the free exercise of religion, or infringed on a liberty interest protected by due process clause. So we're looking at the free exercise of religion. The direct mention of religious freedom as a reason to find such a mandate unconstitutional is a hopeful sign in the battle over this mandate, okay? So there's great hope there. We'll wait and see if the different bishops speak up on this, and we'll be doing that here. And as always, we'll have things in the bulletin, write about it, and insert. So some of you may have gotten these already when you came in. I think we may have ran out of these. These are little postcards from the Catholic Conference of Illinois. And it was created, this conference, to serve as a public policy voice of the Illinois bishops and lay Catholics. They have now formed the Illinois Catholic Advocacy Network, it's called ICAN, which provides regular email updates on respect life, religious freedom, and many of the issues that we're talking about here, topics under consideration for the state and federal lawmakers. So to receive these updates, you can go to ilcatholic.org. We'll be having that in the bulletin for the next couple weeks. These postcards, you see them in the back. The ushers, if you see any of these, or if you're in the pews, what you can do is fill these out and just put this then in the collection basket. So the basic thing is you need internet for this, with email, to get regular updates, okay? So my dear friends, in this gospel, I love this gospel. We see the great compassion of Jesus Christ. We see his humility, but we see Jesus Christ as divine physician. He is our Savior, he is our Redeemer, he is our Lord. But he's also the divine physician. He can heal any kind of wounds, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. Some people have mental anxieties. It seems like dogs in their whole life. Some people have insecurities. Some people have maybe something with trouble with their digestive. Some people have trouble with their bones. We all have different crosses and difficulties. Maybe one of the crosses in our life, we have a good family member, someone we love, who. So, but hasn't seen the inside of church since the day they were married, so that's a cross. So we have all these different things that we're looking to be healed. So there's three points I'm going to make here. What we need to do in our spiritual lives is to open ourselves up to receive all the graces that God wants to give us. Healing graces. Healing graces. You could even have a cross and bear it with absolute, utter peace, and patience if God's grace is reigning in his soul. So the three things we need to do is remove blocks, pray. It's obvious, but it's something that needs to be explicitly stated. Pray. And third, trust. When our Lord says here, do not be afraid. Yeah, there's a lot of things to be afraid out there, but just have faith. So removing blocks. It's something I've mentioned here before, the pulpit, just to emphasize. When we sin, and when we stay in that sin, when we don't repent, when we don't go to confession, there is a block there. And God's grace can't get in and do what he would like it to do. He respects our free will. If we sin like that, we're saying, no thanks, God, I'm going to do it my way. He's a gentleman. He steps back. But he can't get in there and heal the soul. A story I've told me before, and I was only a priest for 1 or 2 years. I went to the hospital. There was a lady, probably about 40 years of age. She had several children. She had some kind of cancer. It didn't look good. So I went in there, mindful of this, removing blocks, praying, trusting. I cleared the room out. I said, when's the last time you went to confession? Been a number of years, probably since just before she got married. I said, you need to go to confession first. And so, well, Father, I got an examination here, and we'll walk through it right now. So she went to confession. Some stuff that she was carrying in her soul for years, and just dragging her down. She went to confession. We gave her the anointing of the sick, then Holy Communion, and guess what? Completely cured. Completely cured. It does happen. It does happen. So we have to remove the blocks. There's some examples here just to see. This is from Psalm 107. It says, quote, some fell sick from their wicked ways, sinful ways, afflicted because of their sins. God wants to help us, but if we want to live over here, like off the boat, not with Christ, he can't help us. We have to remove those blocks. There's an example here, John chapter 5, verse 14. There's a man who had been a cripple for 38 years. And said, after this, our Lord had healed him. And I was like, look, you're well now. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse may happen to you. In other words, our Lord was implying the sickness and what you were carrying was because of your own sins. Now, granted, there are people sick and it has nothing to do with something they did, maybe something genetic or what. But our Lord does make connections in this scripture, sin and different afflictions. There was a man who was born blind in John chapter 9 from birth. So his disciples asked, they knew the scriptures, they said, is he blind because of his sins or his parents? So the Lord said, well, neither he nor his parents has sinned. It is so that the work of God may be made visible through him. So sometimes God permits different crosses in a person's lives and sickness because he wants to work a miracle later. So the first thing we need to do, remove the blocks. Remove the blocks. Is there anywhere in my life that I'm leaving God out? Am I forcing God out here or here? Because the block out of one part of one's life is effectively the block out of one's life totally. That means he's not Lord. If he's Lord, that means all the areas of my life, all the areas of Jesus, Lord. Now pray. The Lord says this, amen, amen, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And expect in faith, but pray in a state of sanctifying grace. James chapter 5 talks about the prayer of a just man in a state of grace, whose prayers are efficacious. So we have here in the scriptures, in Mark's gospel, the synagogue official. He hears about Jesus. The effort that he made, he talks about the crowds pressing upon him, the efforts that he makes to come to Christ's presence and have that faith, realizing if he makes this connection with Christ, if he perseveres, that despite his daughter's condition, that she will be healed. And if you see later, she is. At the effort. This woman of 12 years hemorrhaging, gone to all the doctors, gone to everything, but she hears about Jesus. So she hasn't thrown the towel. She keeps fighting. She wants healing. She presses through the crowd. But a prayer of faith. Something she's been praying for years, I'm sure. And now Christ is there. He touches his clothes, a personal contact. And she's healed. So very important. Now, she touches the clothes of Jesus. The synagogue official talks face to face with Jesus. But guess what? We're going to have more intimate contact with Jesus Christ here today, much beyond what they can even imagine. We will receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, into our hearts. Think about that. We're going to be united with the living God. What a powerful, powerful time for prayer. prayer, not just for ourselves, but other people who have different crosses and difficulties. We say, Jesus, heal me. Like St. Faustina, she, after one time she received communion, she united with the Lord. She said, I don't know where this prayer came from. It just came out from the depths of my heart. The Holy Spirit inspired me. This is the prayer she said. Jesus, may your pure and healthy blood circulate in my poor, ailing organism. May your pure and healthy body transform my weak, unhealthy body. And may a healthy and vigorous life flow once again within me. Then she said, suddenly, I felt as if something were jolting my whole being. I felt completely well. My breath was clear. There was no sign of any difficulty with my lungs, and I was full of energy. And after communion today, folks, what I'm going to do, as we're after we receive my purified chalice, I'm going to pray this on behalf of all of you. A powerful, powerful, not just touching the clothes of Jesus, not just looking at him face to face, but being united with him in a way that the angels bow in adoration, not mercy. Now then, the last thing is trust. Trust, trust, trust. When we have a particular cross in life, again, whatever it may be, whatever, maybe it was some boss at work that always treats us bad, that could be a huge cross, difficulty, something around to be healed, to handle it in a better way. Whatever the cross is, the devil sees an opportunity for him to get in. There's a CD that's been on the CD rack over the last couple years on and off. Betty Brennan, conversion. She had gone over, became a Satanist. And what had happened, how that became about, she had this difficulty. She had a son that died at a young age. And she was just really upset about that naturally. And then other people would say to her, really? Do you think God loves you? Is there really a God? Really? So the devil's playing on that. There's a difficulty in life trying to get that mind in a person's head. There's no God. Well, if there is a God, he doesn't love you. Just keep beating on that point. Then if you listen to that, don't change the radio channel, keep listening to that same signal, guess what? She began to believe it. She began to believe it. So anytime you're going through a cross or difficulty, stop. It doesn't mean that God hates you or God's out to get you. And I always point to people, look at the crucifix. What did he do wrong? Nothing. But he suffered at that. But we have to trust that whatever the cross is, how big or how small, somehow, some way, and really truly, God is working for a greater good. And that's where our faith comes in. We have to trust, even when it's difficult, even when it's difficult. Father, I've had this cross for years and years. Okay, keep your seatbelt fast and stay in the car with Christ. He is working here in a mysterious way. St. Philip Neri said, all the crosses we have in life, we will have them as long as we obtain the grace from that God wants us to have. Huh? So we have to trust. Our Lord says that, do not be afraid, just have faith. That's a little prayer that you can keep in your heart. And it comes across or difficulty comes, okay. Jesus said, do not be afraid, just have faith. So we're afraid when we just look at our natural strength. When we start relying more and more life on Christ, you know, then we can do it. Then we can do it. I have to tell you, folks, just personally, coming to the parish here, all the debt that we had several years ago, first could be it was really a lot of anxiety there. Like, wow, we have this debt, we're trying to make our monthly payroll, we have the school, we have all that. After 1 year, 2 years, I was like, all right, I see how God works. It's month to month. I have to stay on my knees. Dear Lord, we have to get through another month. And just to trust. Just to trust. And so many of your fathers out there that mention anxieties and say, it's a cross. You've got to provide the family, take care of all the needs. Trust. Trust. It may be hand to mouth. That's what happened with our parents. It may be hand to mouth. But that's where our Lord wants to trust. And that's where you pray. You get down on your knees. So remove the blocks. Get rid of the sin. Humble yourself. Go to confession. Do it God's way, not your way. Second, pray. Not just a little Hail Mary. Do the full rosary. Not just 1 minute after communion, but spending an hour in adoration. Then after you do that, God will give you a greater strength and grace, resiliency to trust. Okay, so let's bow our heads. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Lord Jesus, you tell us, whatever we ask the Father in your name, you shall grant. Grant all of us here an unshakable faith and trust. A faith that will move mountains. A faith that despite whatever happens to us in life, that we may know that truth, that we are loved by you. May we never listen to the voice of the devil, who's a liar. May we never listen to his voice, but to your voice, knowing that we are loved by you. Grant us a deeper faith, hope, and charity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.